Good. Yeah. It's quite an introduction there. You never know what's going to happen around here, I guess, right? You never know what you're going to hear. Glad everybody's here tonight. Glad to see each and every one of you here, because you know, like I say every time I get up here, just to remind you, you know, today is a good day. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've experienced today, today can still be a good day because God still loves you. That's all that matters, no matter what happens. You know, last week we talked in, we spent some time in 2 Corinthians in that first chapter talking about comfort, you know, the comfort of God. And, you know, just that no matter how big your problem is, God always shows up and he's bigger than that problem. You know, I can look back in my life and see every single time, not just some of the time, not part of the time, but every single time, God showed up right where he needed to be at the exact moment he needed to be there. Right? Y'all experienced that? Good. Because that's something, you know. And this, I want to continue in 2 Corinthians tonight. We were in the first chapter last week. We're going to skip ahead a couple chapters into the fourth chapter tonight. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, Paul is talking again to the church in Corinth. He's in, you know, he's encouraging them on things. And he's talking about his ministry and his life. And in 2 Corinthians 4, actually starting in verse 5, it says, "You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake." He's saying, hey, we're not talking about ourselves. We're talking about God. In everything that we do, it's all preaching Jesus. And in verse 6, he says, For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. What is he saying there? God is saying, "Let there be light." He's bringing that up because light is important. He's saying, "Let there be light. Let God's light shine," because God's light is a light in our darkness, in the darkness of our lives. God says, "Let there be light in your darkness." No matter how dark things are, God always says, "Let there be light. Let there be me in your life." In John 8 and 12, you throw that up there, buddy. John 8 and 12. It says these words: Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." When God says, "Let there be light in your life," he's bringing life. He's bringing life into your life, into the darkness, because you will have light that leads to life. You don't have to walk in darkness anymore. That's the promise. You don't have to walk in utter darkness. You have a friend in Jesus. You have a friend. He says, "Let there be light." So then, when there's light in your darkness, what happens? When there's light in your darkness, that light spreads out into the darkness around you. See, in Matthew chapter 5, it tells us these words. Throw it up there, buddy. Matthew 5 and 14. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." When God says, "Let there be light in your life," it doesn't stop there. It affects those around you, all of the people around you. Like a city on a hill, you can't hide the light when it's in you. You can't hide God's light when it's truly in you. You're going to shine out. And in Matthew 5 and 16 there, it says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will do what? Everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See, the light is contagious. The light, when God says, let there be light in your life, it's contagious. It's going to get off onto other people. That's what he's saying. He's saying, let there be light in our lives. Back to 2 Corinthians 4. When God says, let there be light in the darkness, he has made this light to shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God. See, that's what the light is, the glory of God. The glory. The presence of God. So we can know the glory that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We've got to have the light in our life. He goes on in verse 7. And he says these words. He says, now we have this light shining in our hearts. So we've got the light in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. We're like fragile clay jars containing the greatest treasure of all. And this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So he says we're like clay jars. Clay jars are weak and fragile, and they're subject to be broken. A clay jar is weak. Subject to be broken. You can break clay very easily. But God has taken the clay jar that is our life and put the greatest thing inside of it. He's trusted us in our weak, fragile selves with the greatest thing known to man. The greatest treasure, the treasure of a lifetime, he's entrusted into our weak, fragile, mortal selves. A big responsibility. See, when a jar is broken, the light inside of it shines through and it doesn't go unnoticed. So get that. What's being said here? If we're a jar of clay and we have the light in us when we're broken, when we go through things, when there's cracks in our jar, the light in us has a chance to shine out of us. The light within us, the hope within us, when we're going through all hell and we're breaking, God shows up and the light shows out. The light goes out and it doesn't go unnoticed. People can't help but notice when you have the light and you're going through all hell. Or 2020, the year of 2020. Amen. When you're going through it and they see the cracks and the break, but they see the light, the hope that you have within you shining out. It's the greatest example that we could ever be. See, that's why we, as broken vessels, are entrusted with the greatest treasure of all. Not for our glory, but for His glory. To shine out into other people. To be that city on a hill. When people see us, they say, this person is going through it all, but they're still praising Jesus. You know, like we talked about last week, it's okay to go through things. It's okay to not be okay. But at the end of the day, God is sufficient. God will see us through every single time. Every time. Because we're broken to reveal the great power of God. Because God works through our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses, and He loves us anyway, and He entrusts us with His light anyway, knowing all about us, knowing that we're broken. Because at the end of the day, His glory is going to shine through. His glory shows up. Because God uses broken people like me and like you to reach broken people just like me and you. Get that. God will always use our brokenness to reach other broken people. You can't go too far. You can never, ever go too far. You can never be too broken. You can never have done too much stuff to disqualify you from God's love. Never. That's the promise. Because God uses broken people to reach broken people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, there's these words. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Let me get over there. You got it up there, buddy? Okay, good. These foolish plans of God are wiser than the wisest human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest human strength. Get this. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. He's reminding them. He's reminding us. You ain't nobody. You're nobody. You are nothing in the world's eyes. You're nothing. Remember that. You came from nothing. But hold on. Even though you came from nothing, you have something. Instead, God chose things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chooses things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. What it's saying there is God chooses the stuff that the world doesn't want. He chooses us to bring up and bring, when it says there, to bring to nothing. He's saying to ruin, to destroy what the world has. He's using the things, the people that are counted out from the wrong side of the tracks. The people that have been to prison a time or two, made a bad choice or three in their life. He's chosen people that are broken to bring a light into a dark world, to bring to nothing, to tear down what the world considers important. He uses us. He uses our brokenness to reach other broken people. Man. See, God uses broken, jacked up people to advance his kingdom and share his hope. The heroes of the Bible were all jacked up people like us. That's the amazing thing. The heroes of the Bible, if you really read what goes on, you've got Noah, who got drunk and, well, showing himself. Well, we got Jacob, who was a liar. His name, you know, he was a liar. Yes, he was a con man. That's a better way to put it. He would be in jail for being a con artist, seriously, today. But God used him for great things. David, the man that was after his own heart, God says, he's the guy after my own heart. I love him. He loves me. Was an adulterer and a murderer. He killed his friend to get his friend's wife. Wow. Elijah was afraid and he struggled with depression. It's another guy. Jonah ran from the call of God. Peter straight up denied our Christ. All of these broken people had a purpose, and God used them to advance his kingdom. How much more will he use you? How much more can he use you if you're willing to do it? If you're willing to say, it's okay. if you're willing to run after him. It's like that. There's an old song that we used to sing growing up. I don't know, even know who wrote it, how long it's been around, but there the line is, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. See, that should be the cry of our heart. If you can use anything, Lord, let it be me. Even though I'm broken, even though I've been through some stuff, use me. In 2 Corinthians 12, as you can tell, I love Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is continuing to talk about his weakness and God using him. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, actually 8, he says these words. Paul is talking and he says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. He's talking about his affliction, the things that he's going through. He says, three times I've asked the Lord to take it away. And each time, in verse 9, each time the Lord said, my gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. Get that. My power works best in your weakness. God can show up and in your weakness. And he goes on to say, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may work through me. Since I know it is all for Christ's good, I am quite content with my weakness and with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What Paul is saying there, he's saying, look, I'm going to boast about my weakness. I'm not going to hide my junk. I'm not going to hide my junk. I'm not going to hide the things I've been through. So many times we want to do that as Christians and gloss over, oh, I'm just a perfect little man. I'm just do perfect things, and I've never done anything wrong, knowing full well all the stuff you've been doing. Okay? See, that's the biggest lie of the church, is that you have to be perfect. You have to be perfect to show up and to love God. See, Paul, he's there saying, in spite of my junk, I'm going to talk about my junk and be open with it to show my weakness. Because when I show my weakness, God's strength comes through. That's what he's saying there when he says, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. He's saying, when I am at my lowest point, that is when God is at his strongest point. I don't think so. Did you guys get that? At our lowest point, God is at his strongest point. That's a fact, Jack. You can take that to the bank. You can build your entire life on that, on the foundation of Christ. On the foundation of Christ. Because when we're weak, he is strong. And it's okay to be weak. Because why? God uses the things, the weak things. God uses our brokenness. Embrace your brokenness. It's okay. You don't have to, don't lie about what you've been through. You know, don't try to cover it up. Just say, God, this is me. And this is you. Showing up every time. Because, I'm going to repeat it again, God uses broken people like you and me to reach broken people like you and me. If you get nothing else from this, know those words. God can use you. So let him. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. It's a lot to take in, huh? It's a lot to take in. I want to encourage you with those. It's okay. Push forward in the things of God. Because when you're weak, he is strong. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that is here tonight. Lord, and I ask that you would come into their into our hearts and our minds and remind us of your strength. Lord, help us to remember that you're always there and you can always use us. Lord, we give you all the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now go forth and do good works.